Are you a mum looking for some parenting inspiration, tips and advice, stories on the ups and downs we face in our lives as parents, some humour and a little bit of fun? Then you may have just found what you're looking for. Hi and welcome to the Parenting in the Thick of It show. I'm your host Louise Clark, a certified parent coach known to many as your parenting partner. As a mum to three teenagers, you can bet I've probably been there, done that, and heard it all. Trust me, there'll be few things that I haven't experienced firsthand. I created this podcast because I just love to help mums like you find ways to navigate life in the thick of it and find a way out of it. Episode 479, Is Your Child Addicted to Screens? This is part 9 of the book club series that I'm doing on the Screen Strong Solution book by Melanie Hemp. Now, I'd said when I recorded at part 8 that it was the last part prior to me interviewing the author. I'm actually going to squeeze this in because I had not noticed the amazing appendix in this book on page 89 and on page 91 and 92. So I'm going to actually putting in an extra one for you so that you can, if you don't have the book, that you are aware of this criteria, diagnostic criteria for video game dependency. I think many parents are in denial that their kids are actually addicted to their screens. I think that there are many more kids addicted to them than we realize. I think there's many more adults addicted to our screens than we realize. I believe we're all addicted to them. We can't live without them. We can't live with them and we can't live without them. That's a real struggle. So I wanted to put this part in, and it might be a bit of a somber one. It might be one where you actually are like, holy shit, my kid's addicted. What now? And, you know, there are places you can go and there are, you know, counselors and advisors that you can seek. You can always speak to me as well. So on page 89, the diagnostic criteria by Douglas Gentile, PhD, Iowa State University. He has got 11 criteria. And he says, if you answer yes to 6 or more of these questions, then you most likely have an addiction to video games. If yes is answered to 5 or fewer questions, then there may be a problem. Behaviors become addictions when they disrupt real life, such as school or work performance, real life relationships and activities of daily living. Use this survey as a guide to determine if video games and or internet use may be a problem in your life. But do not use the survey to make a clinical diagnosis. Only a licensed medical professional can make a clinical diagnosis, but use these as a guideline. When I read them, I was kind of shocked because I'm like, oh my God. Okay, here goes, guys. Number one. So this is the kids going to answer to these questions. And I would not tell your kid that if they answer yes to more than 6, what you're going to label them with. I would just use it as an open dialogue, right? Or you could fill it in on their behalf. But you need to tread carefully, because if you tell them that if they answer many of these with a yes, it means they're addicted. They're going to probably lie. But at the end of the day, you know the answers to these questions yourself. So it is in the it is written in such a way that you want the person you're checking to take this for themselves. 1, over time. Have you been spending much more time playing video games, learning about video game playing, or planning the next opportunity to play? 2, do you need to spend more time and money on video games in order to feel the same amount of excitement as other activities in your life? 3, have you tried to play video games for shorter durations of times but have been unsuccessful? 4, do you become restless or irritable when you attempt to cut down or stop playing video games? 5, have you played video games as a way to escape problems or negative feelings? 6, have you lied to family or friends about how much you play video games? 7, have you ever stolen a video game from a store or a friend or stolen money to buy a video game? 8, Do you sometimes skip household chores in order to play more video games? 9. Do you sometimes skip homework or work in order to play more video games? 10. Have you ever done poorly on a school assignment, test, or work assignment because you have spent so much time playing video games? 11. Have you ever needed friends or family to give you extra money because you've spent too much of your own money on video games, software, or game internet fees? So remember, 6 or more, you most likely have an addiction. And 5 or fewer, there might be a problem, and behaviors certainly become addictions when they interfere with real life relationships, schoolwork, work performance, etc. On page 91, there's another thing that gives you levels of gaming, and there's 4 different levels. And they go on to, the author says, screen immersion gaming levels by family managing media. After working with families for years, we have found the following levels to be accurate. While they fit a gamer profile, they can apply to smartphones and social media screen use too. The screen addiction begins because your child develops a relationship with his or her screen just as he or she would with a boy or girl. While it may start as a casual relationship, the persuasive design that's being built into gaming platforms can tempt your son or daughter until he or she's fully drawn into a fatal attraction relationship with his game or social media. Here is a summary of the progression. So there's 4 levels. 1 is just friends, aka the casual gamer. This person plays a few times a month, demonstrates that he's emotionally and socially balanced, maintains many relationships with family and friends, has many hobbies, communicates well, shows no game-related behavioral changes. 2 is going steady. I love these. Just friends, going steady, risky affair, fatal attraction. So sorry, my heating's just come on, so there's a bit of a fan in the background there. I apologize. So back to number 2, going steady, aka the at-risk gamer. So they deem you're at risk if you play at least once a week. You love the game, but you aren't obsessed, can easily be drawn back into other activities, talks about gaming on a regular basis, still has plenty of friends who like to participate in non-tech activities, begins gaming more than he used to. So we're on to level 3 now, guys. Risky affair, aka the dependent gamer. Plays 2 to 3 times a week or occasionally binges. Thinks and talks about gaming episodes a lot. Has some angry outbursts with gaming disappointments. Begins to drop out of other activities or friendships. Starts to show signs of narcissism. Parents have a gut feeling that he's headed down the wrong path. Becomes harder to manage time limits at home. Certainly with the parents I speak to, most of these kids are without doubt in the dependent gamer and the addicted gamer. So level 4 is fatal attraction, aka the addicted gamer. Plays every day. So they deem you addicted if you play every day. Develops anger issues, temper, and narcissism. And I'm going to say, especially when you're trying to get them off it. Experience change in daily living, sleep issues, poor eating, poor personal hygiene, grades are being affected at school. Has few outside activities or non-gaming friends. Has signs of withdrawal when forced off the game or social media platform. Displays antisocial behavior, which I've spoken to various counselors, and they actually say it's a regressive behavior when they're forced off the game or platform, such as verbal abuse, hurting siblings when they interrupt his game, disrespecting parents over game rules, online bullying, lying, destroying family property, throwing controllers, cheating, etc. And the last point of this is detaches from parents and family relationships. So I think these are really, really pertinent points to consider. And I think they're worth getting the book for. Because I think when you can read these and just absorb them and recognize how many of them so many of us would check and so many of our kids would actually check. And on page 93, I've referred to this already in the series, in Appendix 2, refers to a huge and the largest long-term study on brain development and child health in the United States. It's called the ABCD study. And ABCD stands for Adolescent Brain Cognitive Development Study. $300 million has been ploughed into this, gathering information about teen brains. And they're following 11,874 kids. They are 9 to 10 years old, and they're going to follow them for 10 years. So I'm not too sure when this study actually started, but the preliminary results are groundbreaking. The first cohort with 4,500 kids includes two findings: premature thinning of the cortex and lower scores on thinking, which is cognitive, and language tests. So this is, this is scary stuff, because the cortex, the prefrontal cortex, is the area behind the forehead, and it's responsible for executive functioning, for planning, time management, inhibiting, organizing, being efficient with time, applying logic, applying rationale, discerning information, self-regulation skills. All of this occurs in the cortex, and they're seeing thinning of the cortex. They've MRI tested these kids who are on screens for 7 hours a day, including school screens, and it reveals premature thinning. The area of the brain responsible for processing the information our five senses gather from real-world experiences. When a child is on a screen, he's not experiencing the real world. Since the brain begins to prune away connections that are not being used, this area of the brain is prematurely thinning out. Normally, we see thinning in older teens and adults, not 9 to 10-year-olds. As I mentioned, it says the cortex is responsible for executive functioning, higher order thinking, data collection, problem solving and planning. It helps us regulate our responses to emotions that come from deeper areas within the brain. And the researchers found that this thinning in the cortex was correlated with low crystallized intelligence. That's knowledge gained from living life, such as vocabulary, as opposed to fluid intelligence. I also said the second area where they've seen change is lower scores on thinking and language tests. In the group that spends more than 2 hours a day on screens, early tests have shown lower scores on thinking and language tests. And this is run by the National Institute of Health, the ABC study, ABC 60 Minutes 12/9/18. So this has been out for 3 years. So in the first 2 years, they are seeing premature thinning and cognitive skills being diminished. So I hate to think what's going to be shown up in the next 8 years, but at least people are doing this. I've always said that these screens and the games and things are going to have to come with a warning, just like cigarette boxes do. That, you know, cigarettes seriously damage your health and can cause lung disease. I think on these gaming things and phones, they will seriously damage the brain, the developing brain, and cause major issues. None of which we have seen the tip. We haven't seen the tip of the iceberg yet. So I don't want to be doom and gloom, but this is a major problem, and I am absolutely hell-bent on fighting to correct this. It incenses me that something like the social network, the social dilemma, can come out and there are no solutions given. I want to be the solution. I want to put this on the map. I want to get all these experts together, and I want to help parents get their kids back, and I want to rescue these children from the virtual world. Because parents, even they don't argue with me, but they say, but surely they need virtual skills. And I'm, yes, absolutely our kids need virtual skills, but they need real world skills, and they're not developing them. And it's serious. You know, 100, 200, 300 years times, our brains will evolve and develop, and perhaps we will become more robotic. But right now, we're not there yet. Our brains still need the things that we're not giving these young brains to develop that they need. We have to do a better job of this, you guys. So I'm here to help you and not scare you. We can do it. We can get on this. And don't forget to subscribe to the show so you don't miss episodes as they drop, hop over onto iTunes, rate, review this podcast. I know lots of you are enjoying it. I get wonderful emails from you. If you want to join my new cohort of parents who will be under my influence for 6 weeks in January and February, starting on the 11th of January, then please do drop me an email, louise@yourparentingpartner.com, and I will send you all the details you need. But till next time, thanks again for listening. I really appreciate you tuning in, and I look forward to introducing you to Melanie Hemp, the author of this amazing book. She's done so much to try and help us free our children from addictive screen habits. So thank you, Melanie. Keep doing the work. I'm joining you, and I look forward to speaking to you on the show next. Thanks, everyone. Bye for now. That's it for today's episode on the Parenting in the Thick of It show. If you enjoyed the show, please do share it with your friends and family. And remember, if you find yourself stuck in the thick of it and can't see a way out of it, please send me an email. I would love to help you. My email is louise@yourparentingpartner.com. And don't forget to take a look at the Parenting in the Thick of It family organizer that I created. It's an evergreen family calendar guaranteeing 12 months of use from whenever you start. It also includes beautifully illustrated, informative, and interactive monthly parenting theme pages to guide you through the year. It's the perfect organizer for busy families to keep track of all their activities, plus help parents be the best parent they can be. It's more than just a calendar. You can find the link for this and the other social media platforms that I am on below the description in this episode. Thank you so much for listening today, and I look forward to being with you all soon. Bye for now.